Hi, everyone. This is Sam Williamson. With me is David Kelber, and shortly with me will be Gary Barkalow. And on Base Camp and Secret Garden today, we want to talk to David Kelber because David attended a calling intensive retreat just a month ago, and then in the last week or 10 days, he's just had some shocks in his life, some detours in his life, some surprises from God. And, you know, he was so great because he got on to Base Camp. He's a new member to Base Camp, and he posted, by the way, David, I loved your writing. I love your writing. He posted a really poignant description of what had gone on in his life. And one of the things that I loved was all the interaction people from Base Camp gave. And I know Secret Garden would have if we had posted it on Secret Garden. So I'm glad to welcome everyone from Base Camp and Secret Garden, and especially to welcome you, David. So, David, tell us as though we don't know anything. Tell us what happened recently to you. What's been going on in you? You know, you can start with the retreat. You can start when you're 1 year old. Start where you feel God leading you to start about what God is doing in this season of your life.
Sure, I appreciate that, Sam. Hello to everyone, and thank you for those of you who have contributed and given feedback to the Base Camp, to the blog. I truly appreciate it. I really do. It's a great resource. So, to start off, you had touched on it. I attended the It's Your Call retreat approximately 4 weeks ago, and down here in Florida, and was invited by a good friend, Jack Linity, who's also a member of Base Camp. So he had, sent me a message, told me to come, and was excited to go. Signed up almost immediately and went, and was a very rich experience. It's as everybody knows, obviously, there's so much there. Left the retreat, I would say, hopeful would probably be the best word for it. I didn't want to give too much credence to it. It was definitely a highlight in my life in terms of just having that interaction and the interpretation from other men to kind of feed into my life and give a little more clarity on my story than I was able to get on my own. And so definitely left, like I said, hopeful and kind of waiting to see, what was going to happen next. Certainly didn't expect things to work out the way that they did. But God has a very unique sense of humor, and that's kind of been a theme that I've had some quiet time with Him on this week, is that He really does, and not in ways that we would expect, but He does. And so what happened was basically last Thursday, completely out of the blue, unexpected, and really of no fault of my own, I was let go from my job. I was fired. And this was a job that, honestly, I had waited my entire life for, just in the sense that it was positional. It was kind of what I felt like I had kind of, made it to that kingship part in the journey, through the stages. And I kind of felt like, okay, God, you've put me into a job now where I can lead, I can have some influence and hopefully be a positive impact on those that I serve. And and the money was more than I ever anticipated I would make. So it kind of felt like all the pieces were falling into place. And so did this job for almost 6 months. As of last Thursday, it was 2 days short of hitting my six-month probation period, which would have, effectively been over. So without warning, they called me in and basically let me go. There'd been no discipline issues, nothing. I mean, it was completely a shock. And so went home, reeling, honestly, just really was in a state of shock and had to come home and, talk to my wife and children and kind of tell them what happened, but couldn't explain why. And my first initial thought was, there were, deep tears shed. It was just very, very hurtful. The questions and the attacks come instantly of, what did I do wrong? And what does this mean for me? What does it mean for my family? And I really fully expected that it would kind of lead to a some dark days, I guess is the best way to put it. Just didn't know what was next. And in waking up the next morning, that's not what happened. Waking up the next day, I woke up with this incredible sense of hopefulness, this incredible sense of excitement, which is completely contrary to what has ever really gone on in my life before when those, trials and tribulations have come. And so I was surprised, I think, honestly, by kind of what I was feeling. I felt like there was a weight lifted off and a pressure had been released. And I just felt incredibly hopeful in this, you know, the way that I did when I left the retreat, but hopeful in a new way, in the sense of, okay, God, you know, maybe I was kind of scared to make a move here, and, you know, in some ways my hand's been forced now, so what's next?
Someone pushed you out of the nest, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So let me just ask you a question, just because mm-hmm. I love the irony of being let go in a shock, no warnings whatsoever. And all the expectations of, my goodness, it's going to be hard, it's going to be a struggle, it's going to be the dark days, and you wake up the next morning and you're joyful. How shocked were you at your own response?
Yeah, I was absolutely, and I think I still am kind of dumbfounded by it, because it's just not been my experience, you know. And I think, you know, Jack and Tom were in my group at the retreat, and they knew very much how I came into the retreat, and you know, they got to hear the intimate details of my story, and you know, the way I came into base camp. You know, I explained it very clearly that, you know, I just kind of felt dead to life. You know, I really didn't feel like there was anything going on, a sense of purpose, you know, no sense of purpose. Just felt like everything was vanilla and just, okay, you know, I'm just here. You know, I'm on regular mode of just wake up, you know, sleep, go to work, same thing. And I'm really not doing anything. And so
autopilot.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, I kind of expected that this would kind of be the nail in the coffin, that I would be like, oh, okay, well, this is it. You know, I mean, God has just kind of left me to the wayside, and I just don't know what to do. But waking up that next morning, it was completely the opposite, and it's been that way over the last 7 days, where I've just been, I mean, I feel like I'm kind of living outside of myself, you know, to put it in a strange way. It's just completely foreign to anything I've ever experienced in my spiritual walk, you know. And I've been a Christian since I was 11 years old, but the things that have happened over the last 7 days, to say have surprised me, would probably be a little bit of an understatement. It's scary, but in a good way, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, I understand. And I again, I love what God does. I mean, you said that you come to this calling retreat, and one of the things that you're experiencing, you know, even as you come to it, it's just the routine. You're in a rut. You're in a routine. And the thing that wakes you up is for most people, a horror, a terror. You know, they just lost their job, and yet God is using it, and you felt joy. I mean, is that God? Is there any other way that can happen?
I don't think there's any other way at all. I mean, even my wife has been surprised, you know, and she knows me better than anybody. And so I think even her reaction to it has been like, you know, what's going on? And she's kind of, we've done like role reversal, where she's kind of like, you should be panicking, but you're not. So now I'm going to panic because something's not right. But it's been, you know, it's been one of those things too, that it's been good for our relationship, and even good for my children, in the sense that, you know, I had to have that conversation with them to say, hey, I don't know what's next. I don't know why this happened. I can't give you a valid reason. But God's doing something. You know, I just don't know how it's all going to play out. And so there's been a richness to it, just to be able to kind of see, you know, try to have my kids and my wife see me walk in faith in a way that I probably have never done before. And certainly not out of my own strength. That's without question. So when you say, you know, is it God? It has to be. There's just no other way to describe it.
Hey, David, this is Gary. Hey, sorry.
Hey, Gary.
Sorry I was late for this call.
Not at all.
So, yeah, as I'm listening to you,
Gary's
now,
actually been on the whole call. He joined. No, I mean, he joined as I was making the introduction. So,
yes,
he's heard
no problem.
So here's my thought. I wonder if God was kind of thinking, you know, I want to show David the amount of stability I've built into his heart. Because for a lot of guys, like you said, that, and like you were afraid was going to happen, that would turn most guys upside down, you know. But the fact that you woke up the next morning and there was a sense of excitement, you know, says something about the stability, the strength of your heart, I think. I think God's trying to say that to you, first of all. But I want to tell you, I was meeting with a group of guys this afternoon, and one of them used this expression, and we weren't talking about you. We were talking about their life. And their expression was, well, you know, shift happens. That's S-H-I-F-T, by the way, in case I wasn't clear. And I thought, you know, it's really true. We walk with God, shift happens. He's going to say, you know what, I want to shift you to the next thing right now. I developed you to the point where I have something else for you now, you know. And I just thought, yeah, that expression made me think of you right off in this conversation we were about to have. And we all have had shift happen to us, so, yeah.
Right. You know, one of the interesting things that over the last 7 days that's kind of come to mind is, for me, it's really been a matter of kind of getting back to basics over the last 7 days, and that's kind of what God's brought into my story throughout this last week, and has surprised me as well. But getting back in touch with a lot of the things, honestly, that I had expressed as desires and joys at the retreat. And so just in doing the picture board and going through the questions and the stories and then getting the interpretation back from the other guys, seeing some of those things kind of come to fruition and, you know, writing, sitting down every morning, taking that quiet time that I'm just always too busy for in the corporate world before, but having that quiet time and sitting down and journaling in the morning and just the things that I really love, you know, that are just deep passions of my heart, to get back into those and do those over the last, you know, week have been invaluable. You know, I mean, you forget how much you miss those things or how core those are to your soul. And so there's been a richness over the last 7 days of being able to get back into those. And one of the most interesting things that has probably come out of the last week is I was just praying with God one morning, and the thought came to mind as I want to give you a theme for the day. And so in the mornings when I sit down and have that quiet time and I start to journal a little bit, you know, I say, God, what's your theme for the day for me? You know, and I'd heard it referred to before in one of John Eldridge's, you know, writings and podcasts where he talked about a theme for the year. But I'd never thought about having like a theme for the day. And so over the last week, you know, I've just really taken time and have gotten a different theme for the day that he's kind of spoken to me, in, you know, each morning. And the way each day has played out has fallen completely into place with it. And it's been the craziest thing because I'm not one that hears from him hardly, you know, ever in my walk or experience. It's just not anything that's normally ever been a part of my experience. So it's very foreign, but it's part of, you know, kind of as Sam had mentioned, the surprise. It's just kind of flooring me. I just don't even know what to do with it right now. I really don't. It's overwhelming.
You know, so you're talking about something I feel like God's talking to me about, and that is, you know, and I want you to respond to this, but so often I'm thinking about what I should do, what God, you know, what should I do next, what should I do next, and I think God keeps coming back to, he wants me to have a relationship with him. He wants me to walk and talk with him. And, like, I think I've heard this 100 times in my life, and I, quote, learned this lesson, end quote, 100 times in my life, and yet I hear your story, and I hear God just saying, David, I want to walk and talk with you. And you're saying, it's great. I mean, you're losing a job, and yet you're saying you're filled with joy because of somehow a deeper relationship with God.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, today I had, I took some time this morning. I went to my favorite park, and I had, when I got to the park, I had stopped, and in the parking lot, I sat and I read the latest blog posts from both Sam and Gary. And I went to the park with an agenda. I'll just be completely honest. There was an agenda of, okay, God, let's figure this out. You know, where am I going to work next? How are you going to provide? You know, what's, you know, so I went with, very much, I think, an agenda in my heart. And after reading the blogs, you know, I just kind of felt God saying, you know what, no agenda, just, you know, just as you guys had written, you know, be with me. Just, you know, enjoy being with me. And that was foreign as well, just in the sense that how often, you know, I'm constantly throwing out questions, you know, hey, God, what about this? What about this? What about this? So having the experience today of just walking with him and not asking those questions or striving or searching was incredibly invaluable. So, you know, when you talk about that, Sam, I definitely get it because I was acutely aware today that that's just not been a part of my experience, to just be with him and just experience who he is.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I just want to read this. Reuben is joining us today, and Reuben, it's really good to see you here in Basecamp, it's just great. And so he gets on and he said, on this conversation, he just said, a shift happened to me 3 weeks ago when I lost my job as well. And my response was hope and peace the next day as well. I'm thinking, what's up with that? so what I love here is that, this is speaking to many of us, you know, what you're going through in your life. And that's amazing all by itself. I mean, God is working this in many ways. But my question for you, David, right now is, was there something revealed to you that God showed you at the retreat just a couple weeks ago about your desire or your effect or what you are here to bring? And was there a moment of looking back at that time in the retreat before you were let go? And you maybe were thinking, gosh, it feels like there's no place for that here, even though this is a large part of every day, 5 days a week.
You know, I don't know if I walked away with that level of clarity at the time. I really don't. You know, in fact, today I had actually gone back and listened to the feedback session for the first time. And everyone had said, hey, just give it a little time, you know, go back and reflect on it, you know, and you'll get something out of it that you missed in the moment because it's just so much. You had referred to that, Gary. And so I listened to it today and it was, you know, definitely a different perspective than what I heard in real time and in the moment. So I don't think I left the retreat having that level of clarity. I just didn't. And so I almost feel like what's happened over the last week has kind of been maybe the spark to that. You know, my hope is that level of clarity is starting to come to fruition now, you know, just in the things that he's starting to reveal to me of just, you know, just being me, get back to the basics, start to enjoy these things. And so, you know, I can look to some of those basic things that are important to me and that are my heart's desires, but I just don't know how they're going to flesh out yet.
Right. Right, and you know, I was not assuming that you would have an answer right now because it never seems to work that way. Like, oh,
sure.
I get it. I get what the next thing is. But I was just curious if there was some kind of thought in your mind after that weekend, after feedback, and you're going, I wonder how that's going to work out. And now there's a shift in your circumstances because God's good at doing that. So, yeah.
A question I had is, you said you went to the retreat and you were, you know, the line I used was you were on autopilot, but you were using those words. You were using words to that effect. I'm going through life, you know, next day, repeat. You know, again, I loved your blog. In fact, we should post it on Secret Garden just so that people see how well he wrote and how clear it was. But my question is, when you were on the retreat, did something stir in you to say, I want more than this?
Yeah, without question. I think, you know, the honest and, you know, part of my story and the darker side, I guess, of the story is that there had been a shift, not a good one, though, over the past probably a year and a half, 2 years, of just a malaise just with life, just a resignation to just saying, you know, and it all came down to a sense of purpose. Or not feeling that, and that was a central theme that was addressed at the retreat through my story. It's just legacy was one of the words that was used, and just not feeling like, you know, there was a legacy or that there was any real point to it. Kind of the whole George Bailey thing, and so kind of getting to that point of having been a Christian for so long, saying, God, you know, I don't understand what you're doing or why you're not doing it. And just kind of, like you said, Sam, going through life on autopilot, because what else was there to do, you know? And I had given the example, you know, a long time ago, this was a few years back to Jack Linnity, of being up on my patio roof and sweeping the leaves off and going, there's got to be more than this. Is this it? Are you freaking kidding me? I mean, this is what my life has come to. I'm sweeping leaves off a roof and that's it? You know, what kind of story is that? And so just that sense of not feeling, you know, like you have a place or a sense of belonging. And so, you know, that was that central theme going in. And, you know, I just feel like what happened at the retreat, to answer your question, Gary, was God started to kind of bring those things back out, those hidden desires and that sense of there is a purpose. you know, that desire for life, for more, you know, the abundant life. And those things had really kind of gone to sleep, I think, inside of me. And, you know, I was weary. That's the best way to put it, was just this sense of weariness. And so those things definitely started to kind of come back out and sprout back up. And I think the strangest part is that, you know, losing the job a week ago kind of, you know, was like fertilizer for those things. I mean, it just, I mean, it put it into, you know, high growth mode and in a way that I wouldn't have expected. So those desires are again coming alive, and that goes hand in hand with what I said about God's kind of showing me the theme of getting back to basics, you know, those core things of who I am that he's put inside of me.
So let me read you something. You wrote it, so it's not going to be new to you, but I want to read this to everybody at Secret Garden and Base Camp, where you're describing about your life. So you say, and I quote, "I will be honest, the job was slowly killing me. I was making more money than I ever expected, but the financial security and the elevated title came at a steep price. Always being on call, late hours, high stress, micromanaging superiors, and too much time away from wife and family. Life had become vanilla, boring, pointless, like a predictable sad role day after day. Wake, work, sleep, repeat." That is poetry in a certain sense, but a poetry of sadness.
Hmm.
What would you say to somebody who could have written that, but they haven't been fired from their job? But they might be saying, you know, life has become that vanilla, boring, pointless, predictable, sad role. Wake, work, sleep, repeat. What would you say to someone right now? They haven't been fired, so they haven't been pushed out of the nest.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, one of the key things that's kind of come to mind that I think helped spark a lot of this, or at least kind of get the process going, has been the fellowship. I think when you're in a state like that, at least I know it was true for me and probably for most men, we tend to isolate. And so I had seen a pattern of isolation, I think, where I just, you know, wasn't going to, you know, some of the men's group, you know, like the local one offered here, and just that isolation of, you know, what's the point? You know, they don't get it. You know what I mean? It's, you know, what are they going to say? You know, so just that tendency to kind of believe the lie and isolate. You know, for me, I think that was a big thing, and I think it holds true for a lot of guys. But going to the retreat and kind of seeing that fellowship, you know, I think that there's always been a deep desire for that fellowship. And I think it's, again, in most men, they just don't want to tap in sometimes per se, but going to that retreat and experiencing that fellowship, was definitely a wake up moment for me, that kind of gave me hope and said, gosh, you know what? I was wrong. Yeah, there is more. And then even coming home and getting involved, even just in simple things like the base camp and the Thursday night calls, it's just, there was a stirring. And I think, you know, for guys who would be in the situation who haven't lost a job per se, I mean, it's going to be unique to everyone. I mean, you know, the way God chose to kind of wake me up was certainly not what I wanted or expected, but it was right for me. And I think, obviously, you know, it's going to be individualized. You know, the only hope, you know, that I would offer or advice I would give to anybody at all would be, you know, to not isolate, to kind of, you know, tell your story, you know, share honestly where you're at with other guys. Because the one thing that I found out unexpectedly through this process is how many guys, just like you had shared earlier with the guy on the call, is how many guys have the same story. And we just don't realize it because we isolate or we don't open up or reach out. So just seeing that there is that common vein or thread that runs through our stories, I think offers incredible hope, because it's just, we continue to feed in and believe the lie when we don't have that fellowship and share our lives.
David, who knows? I mean, God knows how long this process may be until he places you into the next assignment, you know, one which fulfills your role as a father, husband, provider, and a place where you can, you know, probably bring more of what God has given you to bring to this world in that particular place. So there's a process, but what I want to ask you in this is, what do you think, knowing yourself as you do at this point, where might be a vulnerability in your life that you need to be very alert to as far as a message? Because I find the enemy is very good at maybe seeing something that God has orchestrated, and he rushes in to deliver a message that is very opposite of what God is about. And it's usually something that's played out in our life long enough that it has roots to go in deep with us. Like for instance, when I left a place I worked for a while, one of the things that, and God was really good in alerting me before I actually had to fight that battle full on right off, but he alerted me by reminding me of kind of an age-old accusation of my life, which is nobody really wants to be with you if you don't have something of significance to offer them. And I hadn't thought about this, but several weeks after I left this place, I felt like God said, now be very careful. It would be very easy to start thinking, oh, see, they didn't want me to be with them anymore because I didn't have anything to offer them. They didn't want me. They wanted only what I had to offer. Obviously, that wasn't enough. So it was such a great warning for me to go, oh, I could have fallen into that pit really easily, but now I feel alerted to it. I'm not going to let circumstances be interpreted in that way. Are you aware of any vulnerability in your life that this could speak into, which would be a falsehood, but nonetheless a vulnerability?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I mean, as soon as you gave your example, and I hadn't thought about it until that very moment, but it actually came very quickly and very severely, I think, in the sense that when I was called to go in and meet with HR, to be let go, I was given a letter, basically of dismissal. And it was presented to me at the very beginning, and basically, they said, we need you to read this, and I have the letter here. I just grabbed it quick, and this was basically kind of a knife, to my glory, and a knife to what I have, tried to portray, throughout the years in terms of, what I offer. But just to sum up one line from it that really kind of hits what you were saying, it says, he has not exercised judgment appropriate for leadership position that he holds. And, I knew that I left it all on the table, in terms of what I gave day to day. And I knew what I offered. But having read that, as the reason why they're saying you're being let go because you don't exercise judgment appropriate for leadership, it was that message of, you're not a leader. It was that message of, are you kidding me? You thought you were a king? This is who you are, you're being let go because you're not enough, you can't do this. So that was the immediate message that was attacked, but, thankfully, I was able again to wake up the next day and say, no, that's not who you are, and it was obviously, just a series of kind of going through it with my wife, talking through it, praying and having that time and saying, God, I don't get it. And I may never get an answer as to why this happened. But that all that is an assault, against my glory, against, who you created me to be. So, yes, it came very quickly, very, very quickly.
And what were, I don't know if you have in front of you or you can just remember, what were your, let's say, some of your passion words that even as you gave it to the group, it really felt like, yeah, this is true of what I know of me right now. Can you remember any of them?
Yeah, laughter is the first one really that comes to mind. I love to laugh. I love to bring joy to others, but just to have it in my own life. I mean, I make myself laugh all the time. I'm goofy, but laughter was definitely one of them, and that was a theme that's kind of played out this week too of God just reminding me of, we're going to fellowship. We're going to, this is going to be a special time for us. And we're going to laugh, and you need to remember to do that. And just remembering the value of how I can bring that to others as well and how much joy that brings me. So laughter was definitely one of them. Nature was another, just, being out in nature, that's where I feel closest to him. And, you know, again, getting back to basics. You know, I keep saying that, but it's really the essence of kind of what I've experienced this week. And, you know, taking that time to go out. And that was something I had been very neglectful of. You know, again, it was a key point in the retreat, you know, that both, you know, Jack and Tom had pointed out to me that was essential to you know, my makeup. But had been very neglectful of doing that because you just get too busy and too caught up. And so, and then joy was another just of, you know, giving that joy, offering that joy to others, you know, whether it's through, you know, just relationship, your story, whatever the case may be. Those were definitely three words that were important.
Well, and it is amazing that you've gone through this and you've been able to, God has given you the experience of those things you're talking about, the joy, the laughter, you know, and all of that. He's been able to let you hold on to that through this, because this could easily tear that down, you know.
Yeah, and you know, I like how you've said that other people were able to speak to you. You know, you were in this small group and you experienced intimacy and being real. But I have to say that, you know, you're going through this experience of speaking to other people. You know, it's sort of like God makes this perfect storm, a good storm, where, you know, people speak to you, but then you speak to other people. And this is, I think this is the way the Christian body is supposed to work. You know, we're continuing to work with each other and speak to each other and do something. And I, so we're appreciating all the things that you have to say.
Yeah. So have you, and again, this is very recent. I realize that. I want to keep that in perspective in my own questions with you. But what are you, what have you been or want to put in place during this period, whether it's, you know, weeks or whatever it is, what do you feel like God is telling you to put in place for your journey right now? Anything?
Yeah, I, you know, my first, I guess, instinct or reaction was to, okay, you got to get going. You know, you got to make this happen. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, update the resume, you know, start looking, you know, right away, and, you know, you got to figure this out. And so that was the first initial reaction. And then, you know, the second one was, okay, you know, just slow down. You know, you need to digest this. You need to process this a little bit. Don't miss whatever's going on here. And through the Basecamp blog, the feedback that some of the gentlemen had given there, there was that common theme of, hey, you know, just see what God has. Don't be too quick to rush, you know, but step back and kind of see what direction he's leading you into, you know, and what's going on here. And so that was very, very, you know, sagely advice in the sense that I don't want to be too quick. So, you know, I would say initially the theme is just kind of what I experienced today is, okay, you know, just being me right now. You know, you need to kind of, you know, again, back to basics. You need to learn what it means to just enjoy me again, to know me again in that sense as you did when you were a child, you know, of just, you just enjoyed the fact that we were together. And so for me, that's really what it's been thus far is just, okay, I want to kind of renew that relationship and see him for who he is again and not who I've seen him to be through the Matrix and through, you know, the picture that I've put out there, that the enemy's put out there of, oh, he doesn't care. He's not talking to you and, you know, he's not doing this because, and, you know, A, B, and C. So getting back to who he is and kind of, you know, starting off with that foundation, you know, in the weeks ahead, you know, I'm not trying to overthink it right now, which is completely the opposite of who I am. You know, I tend to overthink everything and try to overanalyze it and then prepare and plan. You know, Jack and my group at the retreat had stated that, you know, that I have this this sense of order, you know, that I like to have, and the way I had laid out the board and all this other. So I'm trying to say, okay, you know, let me just, you know, delve into who you are right now and literally just try and take it day by day. And again, that's a new experience for me, but I'm trying to stay grounded in that as much as I can.
You know, and I think as I'm listening to you and it's causing me to reflect on experiences in my life, yeah, I would think that, you know, any sort of a traumatic situation, a big shifting situation, or whatever we want to call that, I know it would be very easy for me to do a couple things. One, to move to isolation, instead of gathering people around, just for comfort, for counsel, you know, that kind of thing. Secondly, my other thing I'd probably go into is into speed. I got to move quickly, which, you know.
You would be that way, Gary?
We're not talking about me here, okay? So isolating, the other one is speed, and, you know, you can't move quickly with people, which causes us to move to isolation. I'd want to move quickly. Let's get this thing going. And then I think the other thing is, and it kind of goes with isolation and speed, is I tend to move into this mode of, I've got to figure this out, because either one, God's not going to speak to me on this, or he doesn't talk fast enough, you know?
Mm.
And where my heart goes for you, and I've had people do this around me, and it was a lifesaver, and many of us have talked about this over the years, but man, I would go to get some people around you
mm-hmm.
close in on your life so you can talk through everything from what the current battle is in your heart, emotionally, spiritual warfare, whatever it is, and as well as here's what I'm thinking, and that will allow you to slow down. And then I know for me, when I'm in a tough situation, I feel pressure. I have a real hard time hearing God clearly because I've got too much dialogue going on. And to have guys, you know, talk to me, we pray together, they're helping listen for me. Not to give me an answer, but listening with me, I should say. I would think that would be huge to get guys around you, slow it down. Don't try to figure it out, because that's our tendency is, oh, I know what's going on. I know what God's up to, even though I've been asking you these questions. And I know what I should be looking for. I just remember years ago, I was meeting with a guy, and I was trying to work through a situation in my life, something that had happened. And I came to him the next time, and I said, okay, I know what God's up to, and I know what that was about. And he said, stop. He said, before you tell me a thing, let me tell you, you just got on the street. You have no idea. Don't tell me anything. You just keep thinking about this. It was abrupt, you know, abruptive in my life, and I thought, you have no right to say it to me. And he had every right. He was exactly right. You know?
You just got on the street.
Yeah, I just got on the street. I thought I was at the other end. So, anyway.
And that's great advice. I really appreciate you saying that. And that's one of the reasons why I've honestly found the base camp so helpful, is because, you know, I remember saying to Jack and Tom before we left the retreat, I don't want to lose what we have here, you know, in the sense of just that fellowship. And, you know, there can never be that level of intimacy, you know, that's in that week. I mean, that's a powerful weekend. And so... you don't ever expect to walk away with that level of intimacy, you know, on a day-to-day basis. But there is a richness I think we can walk away from. And so that's certainly where, you know, base camp has been helpful. And so, I agree with you. I need to make sure that I'm kind of plugging in and getting the interpretation of others, because definitely trying to do it on my own is not going to work.
So we need to start drawing to a close here, but I want to say to everybody on Secret Garden and Base Camp, write in, just chat in something that you feel like you learned from this, or something that God spoke to you about it, because I'd like to read that off to people. And since there's a minute time lag, I know that you're not going to hear this until 60 seconds from now. But, dude, just chat in what you heard from God in this conversation, for you maybe, or a lesson you learned. And Gary, I'm gonna ask you that question, because you don't have a 60-second time lag. What do you feel like God is saying to you through what God is saying to David?
And so you're not eligible for this question? Is that what you're telling me?
You get to ask me yourself. I'm not going to ask myself.
Okay. Well, I'm asking you after this. Well, you know what? Actually, just what I said a second ago to David about, you know, don't isolate, don't speed up, don't come to a quick conclusion right now. I said that because, and I'm feeling that internally, because that's exactly what I do every time I hit something that doesn't look like it's going in a good direction. and I don't know what to do with it. And so, again, you know, the good thing is, Sam, you and I and John, you know, I may call you guys and think this is what's happening and this is what I think I ought to do. And just in that conversation that I think is going to take 15 minutes, which takes an hour and a half on the phone, you guys have slowed me down. You've kind of asked me enough questions to basically be saying to me, I don't know that you know enough yet to draw that conclusion. I'm not sure it's the right one. And so, again, I'm saying what's coming up in my heart, and it feels like this is back to me as well as what I would like to offer to David. So, because that's my tendency. Isolate, speed up, and draw your conclusion right now. And yet I know from life it really usually doesn't work that way. Well,
all on your shoulders. You got to decide. Figure it out.
Right. Time is, I was going to say time is money, but, you know, time is life. Time is survival. And, you know, it's not often the case. So, Sam, how would you answer it as people are answering your question on the chat lines now?
Well, David said something earlier on that struck me, and I haven't commented on it, but he was saying something like, he says, I don't know what God is doing, and then he said something like, and I may never know. And I heard a sermon on the book of Job years ago, and I don't remember who said it. It might have been my dad. It might have been someone else. And it was a sermon series on the book of Job, but one of the things they pointed out was, at the very beginning of the book of Job, we get this little insight of a little sort of dialogue that's going on between Satan and God, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, God says, is there anyone like my servant Job? And Satan says, yeah, but that's just because he's wealthy and healthy, you know. Take that away from him and he'll curse you. So it's just a few verses at the beginning. And then the rest of the book is Job saying, God, why are you doing this? And his friend saying, you know, you're a lout, you know, great friends. And it goes for chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter. And in the end, Job keeps saying, why did you do this? And in the end, the only thing that happens is God reveals himself to Job. And Job says, I see you now, and that's all I need. I you know, that's not the exact translation. But just as David was saying, I may never know, I'm thinking, you know, there is a certain sense on this earth you may never know, and yet you seem to be saying, I'm seeing God right now, I'm hearing God, and that's all I really need in the end. And that struck me when I heard you say that. It reminded me of this, that in the end, I think that God wants us just to see him and know him and hear him. And that is, I know we think we need other things, but in the end, I think that's really what we need most. We need our inner soul fed with just the presence of God. So
yeah,
that really moved me when you said that, David.
Mm. Yeah. The thought came to mind real quick of, you know, I want life more than I want answers right now.
Yeah.
That's good.
And as you say that, Sam, I thought, you know, one, we have to make sure we don't isolate, that we need brothers and sisters who carry the life of God in them. On the other hand, like from what you said, I just realized I can isolate or I can run to other people and be isolated from God in a sense, right? I can run to you guys whose voice I can hear immediately instead of going to also be with God alone and hear him and just experience his presence. So, yeah.
So I'm going to read something from The Secret Garden, where Candace Weber said, what she feels like she's learning, hearing in this moment is, quote, I need to stay in the moment that I'm in and let God speak into that moment. Catherine McCauley said, I love Gary's comment about finding whether there's stability there or not. Christine Wright said, life is more than answers. Wow. Then Candace Weber came again and said, wow. Quote, I want life more than I want answers right now. She says, that's where I want to be. I mean, we really do speak to each other. Gary, why don't you read some of the base camp comments? But we really do.
Okay,
and
there was one more that Sharon gave, and she said she was recommending this book called Life Together by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And then she made a comment. She said, especially chapter one, as a self-isolator, this book showed me that help must come from the outside, in quotes, from our brothers and sisters in Christ with whom we are in community. Yeah, that's really good. Reuben put up Psalm 46:10, where it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And real quickly, one of the things that, as I was reading that, Reuben, that hit me, and I thought, you know what? I'm really good with it. If I go through this, that God will be exalted. I'm good with that. That's a good end. But I thought, you know, Scripture speaks to another end, and that is, you know, as sons and daughters, he said, well, I will also exalt you, because he said, you know, for in due time I will exalt you if you cast your anxieties upon me. And I thought, you know, really saying there's two things. I will be exalted, and I will bring you to the place that you are supposed to be in. So it's an exalted place, meaning it's the right place. I thought those were really good. I'm trying to think. Did I miss something here, Sam? Bob said, go ahead.
Well, Jack Benedy was just quoting from James 1:2, consider it pure joy when you endure various trials. And, you know, sometimes it's easier to said than done, but David is experiencing joy in the midst of a real trial. I think that's great.
Yeah, that is good. And a last comment maybe here is Bob Cain said, he said, waiting to see what will conclude is good, right, and hard. Inconclusiveness begins to wear on a guy after a while. While I sense God speaking into this time for me, what I sense God speaking in this time for me is simply, will you trust me?
Hmm.
And it always gets down to that. And it's like that quote I gave in that blog today from Wayne Jacobson when he said, you know, when I find somebody who would lay down their life for me, I can trust that person. And he was saying, and that's Christ, right? I laid down my life for you so we can trust him and go, well, man, I have no reason not to trust you. Of course I can. And that's the battle right there, that place of trust, you know, in his love.
Let me just say one more thing that Sean said, Sean Mackinson. I don't know if it's Mackinson or Makinson. I think it's Mackinson. But he says, I think the biggest thing I'm getting from this call is that I'm not alone, even though it feels that way sometimes.
Mm.
Mm. Hey, you know, Sean, you're not alone. Yeah. We're with you, I believe. Believe me.
Right. And this is so much of what Base Camp and the Secret Garden is to be about, is this for each other. And so let me throw out one more time what Sam and I have been saying over the years, and that is this. If you find yourself in a place where you need to get some people around you, you just want to talk something out. You want to detangle your thoughts through conversation with some other people who understand the journey of the heart and know how to hear God and know how to listen to you and can bring their experience and their understanding. That's who we are in Base Camp, all of us. I mean, I've noticed that whenever there's high activity in Base Camp or the Secret Garden, somebody has put up a prayer request. Somebody has said, mm-hmm. Would you guys pray for me on this? I say that guys generically, men or women. And I'm telling you, everybody jumps on it. And that's the heart of this place, and I'm glad it is. But also feel free. I think you can email people on the Secret Garden or Base Camp and say, I'd just love to talk to a few people and arrange a time to do it. It's not for a few. It's offered to everyone. So just, David, like what we're doing with you, and people are saying, man, this has been so good. This is the life that we hope that is in Base Camp and the Secret Garden.
And let me add one more thing to that, Gary, that I just had an idea of is, you know, if somebody's going through something and you need to talk to a few people, email me or Gary. So post it on Base Camp or Secret Garden and say, hey, would somebody be available to talk, you know, Friday night at 5 p.m. Eastern time or something? And then email me and Gary, and we can set up a call on this chat line and this phone call right now where you can get 3 or 4 or 5 people in so multiple people could talk on the phone together. We can help you set that up if you want because yeah. We want to encourage this. We want to encourage this mutual support and care.
So, David, thank you for, you know, coming on and sharing your heart, your life, your circumstances with us. I hope it's been helpful for you, and I can, you know, I think all of us are saying, this was really good for me as well. And we will be praying for, you know, for that that you are continually alert to God's presence and his guidance in these days. So,
yep. I appreciate that, Gary. And again, everybody in the Basecamp community, I appreciate your prayers, support, advice, encouragement. And just to reiterate what you guys said, you know, it definitely is that community to where we all share together. So, you know, I encourage everybody to kind of reach out, you know, tell your stories, and just like you said, you know, ask for the help and advice. You know, it's been overwhelming and highly appreciated. So thank you all.
Yeah. And I'm going to do Sam. I'm going to say Sam. And then one more thing. You know, we really can come to each other in a place of need. I think sometimes we feel like we have to be the stronger partner in this, you know, and not be able to come to people and say, I'm hurting. I'm a wreck. I don't know what to do. And no one ever, I mean, I never looked out at somebody when they do that. And when I've done that, no one's ever said, you know, this is why I don't like to talk to you, Gary. So, you know, we can come to each other in that place of just saying, man, I need some help right now. So anyway, Sam, thank you for starting this off. And David, thank you. And everyone, thank you. This felt like a family affair. This was really good.
Thanks, everybody.
Yep. Thank you all.
All right, see ya. Bye.